All right, here we are, podcast two, after the resounding success of podcast one and the critical acclaim it received. We figured we'd be back for installment two. We got Sam here again, that's me. Got Cincy with me.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, Cincy. And back to do the same thing. This week we'll be doing a little recap of Wash State. We're getting to this a little late, so we probably, you know, a lot of that's old news. We've written about it so much by now, so we're just going to do a quick little recap of Wash State stuff and then get into some Troy and some predictions. So what do you feel like about the Wash State game? How do you feel things? You think we played okay?
Yeah. I think it was an impressive thing. I mean, I think we, you know, could have run the ball a little bit better. I think it was
there was
awesome.
No rushing attack.
Yeah, our offensive line really needs to gel, and we need to give the ball to Hunter more. I think it was awesome, and the thing that strikes me the best or the most is I love how OSU really turned it up when Washington State made that little run.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of times where I think OSU would have – that might have, you know, made enough of a spark to kind of, you know, put some fear into OSU. And we just responded with just, you know, fuck this, we're going to kill you. And we just turned it on, you know, and just laid it on them. So I thought that was pretty awesome.
And you could see that switch kind of happen too, I thought, at least. Like, I mean, on that next, next drive with the bomb to Blackman, I mean, I thought you could almost see that switch kind of turn just, well, this is getting a little too close. We are way too good for this game to even be close, so let's just go.
Yeah.
And you could just kind of see it happen.
Yeah. No, you could see it. You could absolutely see it. I mean, they just turned the corner, and they just did not let up. Thought that was good. Another thing I think is pretty interesting is just how you can really tell how Holgorsen has really, you know, he's not forcing a system upon Oklahoma State. He's obviously, you know, taken the players that we have and created something that I think is going to be pretty special offensively with the players that he has. He's not trying to force anything. You know, which was evidenced with the whatever we're gonna call it, the Vag or the Cowboy Diamond or whatever, the OS uterus. I don't know.
Ooh, a new addition, the OS uterus. Been holding out on that one.
I know.
I liked
it. Blog-worthy.
You know what else I liked was the defense. I mean, they had their gaffes a little bit on some, you know, on a little bit of deep routes and stuff on some posts especially, but man, the defensive end looked so fast. Rashetti, Chinasa, and then Martin was obviously regulating in the secondary. Broke his damn helmet hitting people so hard. So I loved the way the defense looked as well. So I mean, not too hard to do a lot of analysis on that game. I mean, everything pretty much went right. And yeah, I don't know if there's even much more to say about it.
I don't either. I think it's a good win. And, you know, we scored over 60 points. And, you know, now we'll move on to a Troy team that
Troy.
Some people think are dangerous. I don't know.
They're quick. They're good. They're Sunbelt good.
Yeah, they're really Sunbelt good.
Yeah.
They're proud of that, too.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, speaking of Troy, I mean, they've got some worrisome guys. I mean, Jernigan being number one, I think. The 5'10", or however tall he is, he's a short dude that's just fast as hell and apparently just bounces off of guys like a pinball when they hit him. I mean, in spite of being small and shifty, he's got to be wrapped up, too, it looks like. So, I mean, just watching some of the highlights from last week. But, I mean, they got him. They got that Southward guy in the backfield that's pretty quick. They got a lot of speed at the skill positions. But I think if anything was going to worry us about them, it'd be that speed at the skills positions. And I'm kind of, in a way, excited about it, though, because I want to see, I mean, this is the fastest defense we've ever had, you know. I kind of want to see how they match up with all that speed. I mean, we're going to have a huge size advantage, but, I mean, the speed, it'll be interesting to see how we match up with that.
Yeah, I agree. I think, Jarrell Jernigan is definitely, he almost reminds me of a...
Of yourself?
Which is, of myself in college. Just shifty and fast and explosive. No, he reminds me of, which is terrifying, but he kind of reminds me of Chris Johnson in the fact that he's kind of a little guy, but he's just fast. I don't think he's as fast as Johnson, but, I mean, I've watched some highlights, and I mean, the guy just can burn. And they put him out, too. He's just all over the place. I think he plays a little more at, at least last week he was more involved kind of in the passing game as a receiver. But they're not afraid to put him out, as a receiver, running kind of in a wildcat-like formation, direct snap to him at quarterback. He's just a dangerous guy. And you also have that Sean Southward that, he had about 75 yards and a touchdown last week. So he's kind of their bruiser. I think he can run between the tackles. And, if anything, concerns me this week, with our defensive tackles and our interior D kind of being a little thin, if they can pound the ball and get something going inside between the tackles and then kind of mix Jernigan in on the outside, they could be a dangerous opponent.
Well, that'd be interesting on offense because that's the one on offensive line. That's the one place they're really not undersized. I think both of their both their tackles are over 300.
Yeah,
their guards are in the high twos. They're in the 280-ish range. I mean, they've actually got some good size on the line. So, see what kind of push they can get, and I'll be excited to see if Rashetti and Chinasa can get that same kind of can cause as much disruption as they could last week in the backfield because that was great to see when it was working. I mean, it wasn't 100%, but when they were getting back there, that was really nice to see. Rashetti looked great.
He did. He looks lean and mean, and he got after him last week for hit. What did he have last week? Two sacks?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. thank you. Thanks for the
I don't know.
I think he had two sacks. But regardless, I mean, they look strong, and I think they'll get after that Troy quarterback who's a freshman.
Corey? Cotton Corey?
Yes. Cotton Corey Robinson.
Yeah. He said he had an all right game. I guess they rotate in quarterbacks, which is kind of weird, but I think he took like 80% of the snaps.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just while they're trying to figure out who the starter is or if they're really going to keep rotating. They rotate everywhere, though.
They do. They've got a couple of packages with the other quarterback, where they run in. But I think Robinson takes, he's the man. He'll be in 90% of the time.
Yeah.
The Sun Belt man, in the Sun Belt.
I hate that. It's my least favorite conference name.
Definitely.
The Sun Belt.
Yeah, it's pretty weak.
And then on defense, they had a defensive end. I can't think of his name right now. Addison or something like that. Had a couple sacks and a couple tackles for loss, too.
Mario Addison.
Pretty quick. And then they like that other – their other end is supposed to be good, too. Whatever the hell his name is. They really like both of them a lot.
Yeah.
It'll be a good test for those O linemen, especially for the tackles, for Martinez and Adcock over there on the other side, seeing if they can contain kind of a speed rush, because it sounds like that's pretty much what they do. I mean, a lot of speed rush, and we'll see what the O line can do. And, I mean, our offense, I just can't see us not scoring 60 again if we want to against this defense. I
really can't either. It looks to me like they're from what the Troy coaches have said, they're going to be pretty committed to stopping Hunter and doing everything they can to stop Hunter. And I just think you know, if you do that and you really make that's your point to try to slow him down, you're just going to lead guys like Blackman and Moore and Cooper and they're just going to have big games. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Blackman have another huge game and then maybe throw Tracy Moore or Josh Cooper in the mix with another, you know, 5-6 catch, 100-yard touchdown kind of performance.
I mean, they did a good job with Bowling Green, I guess, their defense did. I mean, they gave up, I think, 17 or something kind of early, and then I don't think they gave up anything. Bowling Green's other score was, it wasn't their offense, it was a kick return or something, I can't remember now. But so, I mean, I think they held them for like the last 2.5 quarters scoreless. So, I mean, they found something that worked, but once again, who that was is a big, big factor.
You
want to
three?
No.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, this guy's like 65 years old. He always comes in and asks the goofiest stuff. Well, what were we saying? My bad.
Just talking, you know, about the Troy defense and how they played versus Bowling Green.
Yeah, I mean, once again, though, it's Bowling Green. I mean, I don't know how much you can take out of it. It's hard to know how good anyone is right now. I mean, we assume Washington State is probably the worst team that's in a BCS conference, but that's in an AQ conference. But I mean, who knows? Maybe they're not. Oklahoma State's even better than we think right now. But and maybe Kansas is the worst team in an AQ conference. But
God,
which is entirely possible at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. It'll be a good test for the D with all the speed. And I mean, our offense is just based off last week, which is all you had to go off of right now. There just isn't a weak spot. I mean, there really isn't. Especially once Brandon started making all those reads downfield after early in the game where he kept trying to dump it off.
Yeah.
He started connecting.
I don't feel like
pattern.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think we saw the whole thing by any stretch last week. I don't feel like that air raid offense ever truly got going. We just had so much success with the run and, you know, got up so early. You know, that game was over by half and, I would expect to see maybe a little more of the playbook this week.
Yeah, it's definitely a tougher opponent. I think kind of the consensus now after week one is maybe probably our toughest non-conference opponent. So, and that was probably the consensus before week one anyways, but I think it's kind of confirmed now after seeing how ULL and Tulsa performed.
Yeah.
So, any chance at all of OSU losing the game? Or let's say this, what would they have to do to lose it? Just lots of turnovers and fluke plays?
Yeah, you know, I think if it comes down to, I can easily see OSU maybe not coming out as strong as what you think in the first half. And, you know, I've got a gut feeling that this might be a closer game in the first half. I think we'll pull away in the second half, but, you know, if they can run inside, if they can run between the tackles, they can control the clock, keep our offense off the field, and move the chains with Southward, they'd absolutely have a shot.
You mix in a couple fluke things like Jernigan returning a kick or something for a touchdown.
Yes.
And so,
yeah.
I mean, I think that's what's going to happen. We'd have to have some turnovers. You need a kick return or something like that from Jernigan, which is entirely possible.
Absolutely.
And, I mean,
it'll be interesting to see if we kick to him. Bowling Green did not kick to him last week.
Yeah.
So they kind of took him out of that kicking game. Oklahoma State has, in the past, has kind of, at times, kick to people that they might not, you know, should kick to. And
right.
So it wouldn't surprise me at all if we, you know.
The good thing is Quinn Sharp puts him out of the end zone every time, 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last week.
He's got a leg.
It's So we don't have to worry about him there. And if he can kick it away from him in the punting game, then.
Yeah, so if we can do that, you know, and limit that. But you're right, you know, it would only take, you know, watching some of the highlights of that Bowling Green and Troy game, you know, a lot of Jernigan's big plays come on, you know, missed tackles, poor tackles, not wrapping up, you know, kind of that second chance.
People underestimating
plays.
Sort of.
Yes. You know, you think you're down. You think you've got him, and you kind of drag him down, and he kind of weasels out of it, runs around the corner, and goes for, you know, another 15 or 20 yards. And so,
bastard.
You know, we've got to do a good job tackling. And I think if we play good fundamental football, though, and limit the mistakes, tackle well, we should win fairly easily.
Well, I'll bring up one negative that I haven't heard brought up anywhere, and I think it's because nobody wants to talk about it, but this is way too eerily similar to the Houston game last year.
Yeah.
I mean, is the line's even the same? We had a very impressive performance week one. Granted, last year it was a different circumstance. It was a closer win against a much better opponent, but coming in on a big high after week one, thinking, you know, everybody looked at that line opening at 11, and I believe that's exactly what the Houston line opened at last year was 11, and thought, why the hell is that line so low? And immediately everyone said, well, that's Oklahoma State's a lock in that game. You got to take that bet with as good as they looked in week one. I don't think it's the same thing, and I mean, in any way, but just all week I've been noticing that connection between the two teams and or between the two game twos from last year and this year. So if anything, it's some sort of a little psychic thing that's bugging me. There's nothing about the matchup that I think points to us losing, though. Nothing that scares me, at least.
No, there really isn't. But you're right. You know, it's that same you kind of do. I kind of have the same feeling of, you know, will there be a letdown? And I don't really think there will be. I think we're good enough, and I just don't see enough in Troy to really come to Stillwater and leave with a win. But it's only week two, and we really don't know.
We're that kind of fan base, anyways. There's like 15 or so fan bases in college football that are always waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, like what happened to Ole Miss last week, and you know, Purdue fans, Missouri fans. I mean, there's plenty more that are like it. And we're in that group with all of them that just, I just have a hard time getting overconfident with anything just because you see bad shit happen a lot. That's why, you know, your mind automatically goes that, God, it feels so similar to the Houston game last year when I shouldn't be thinking that at all. But I am.
Yeah.
All right. So what about a prediction? The score. Lines at 13.
I'm going to say lines at 13.
Yeah, it's going up.
Wow. It's moving up. People are in. I'm going to say.
Most of that's based on my bet, I think.
I think it'll be. Your bankroll is moving the line. I'm going to say I think the first half will be somewhat close. I think we'll be ahead. And I'm going to say we win 42-14.
Yeah. So you got a big cover in mind?
Yeah.
I mean, as I said, I put a few units on Oklahoma State already. So, hence the line moving. So, I mean, I think OSU is good to cover that 13 as well. And I think we get into probably the 40s as well. Probably around that same score as you think. 40-something to – I can see – I think Troy will score, though. I think they may get into the 20s, but
– yeah.
Around a 20.
I'd actually like to correct that. I'm going to say like 24, 42-24.
Yeah. That's
because I do think they'll
– I think it'll kind of be one of those, though, where it doesn't feel as close as the score kind of looks. A 42-24 kind of – it could be a tight game or maybe it was. I think it'll be one that really wasn't, though. Like, it was 42-10 at one time, and and they kind of dumped a few in late or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll win by 50 or anything. I think we win by about 20, but it's not even that close of a game, though. What do you think about Hunter? What's Hunter going to do? A repeat performance?
Gosh, you know,
Bowling Green ran for 108, I think, against them.
Yeah, they went just a little over 100. I have to think
they're kind of a passing team.
You know, we can go better than that, but then again, they're going to key in on Hunter, and so I think he'll definitely go over 100. I'll put him at maybe 125, and
a little more modest
down.
Maybe
a little more scale back. I really think our receivers are going to have bigger games. I think
Black
and size and more size are just going to really get to Troy. And
I think their tallest DB is like 5'2", I think, so it shouldn't be for more.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one area where physically we just have such a mismatch. I mean, that's got to be exploited.
Yeah. And I don't think we'll have a choice to exploit it if they put 9 or 10 in the box and, you know, try to stop Hunter. I really I don't see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Hunter's going to have 150-ish somewhere in there. I mean, they're going to have to put, I mean, he was just running at will last week. I mean, that was unbelievable. And they're going to have to spy him and put some guys up. So, I don't think he's going to cross 200 every week, but he could threaten to. I mean, there's
and
enough
he did
of a
carry.
Threat.
He did carry men on his back last week. So
his power running was unbelievable.
Yeah, he seems like a much more physical runner than I remember. We didn't see too much of him last year, but I don't remember him being as physical as he was. He's unbelievable. That was an unbelievable running back performance last week.
Yeah, he's a major dude. He can run the ball.
I'm ready to keep him healthy.
Yeah, what do you where do you come down on the Heisman thing? Should we have left him in last week? He's a little more in Heisman contention, across the 300-yard mark or something.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if 300 yards against Washington State. I think the risk kind of outweighs the reward. And
right.
I mean, he had over 250 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Right.
If you don't look at that and think that's amazing, then don't think 300 is really gonna.
Yeah.
So no, I agree with pulling him. Keep him healthy. You know, if you don't need Kendall Hunter. Which we didn't. Don't risk it.
Yeah, and don't use them on kickoffs either.
Agreed. Yeah, because I hate to think about, you know, if he were to get injured, that takes away some pretty good chunk of your offensive firepower.
Right.
So.
Randall's good, Smith's good, but some of the starting and stopping, I mean, the little quick jukes he did, I mean, no one's really got. I mean, there's not many backs in the nation that have that in their arsenal. I mean, it's not a system thing. He's not a system back. He's not, you know, like possibly the last 4 years, a lot of these guys could have been looked at as system backs. Even before that, you know, a lot of the aughts, you could look at a lot of the backs as system backs just because, I mean, that zone blocking scheme was so effective and produced so many effective running backs, but. I mean, Kendall is just—he's just so far ahead of any of those guys. I mean, even ahead of Tatum, so far ahead of Tatum. I mean,
Absolutely. I
consider the best out of that group. That just—I mean, it's a whole other level of running back.
He's got just every aspect, every facet of a running back that you'd want. He's got it. He's quick. He's tough.
Humble.
Humble. He's very humble. He's a Christian.
everything you'd want.
Uh, everything you'd want. No, honestly, he's just the total package. And it's, man, I hope he continues to, you know, get 150 to 200 in these non-conference games and roll into, you know, our roll into conference play, kind of meat of the schedule, at close to 100 or close to 1,000 yards. Man.
And man, we got to
just get started.
We got to hold serve in these next two games. I mean, I am so prematurely excited for that A&M matchup. All right, I mean, I can't wait for that game. If both teams are undefeated coming in, probably both of them will be just right outside the top 25, maybe even in there a little bit, right around there.
Yes, that game, you know, that could be a big game.
Thursday night, man, that's going to be great.
For both teams in terms of, you know, where you fall kind of in the South. I mean, Texas to me looked very flat. I didn't get a chance to see OU play. I don't think they're, you know, overrated by any stretch. I think they're strong, but
yeah, they'll be solid. Oh yeah.
They didn't seem unbeatable, but, you look at, you know, Oklahoma State and Texas A&M here in a few weeks, that could be a big, big game.
I'm ready for it.
Early in the season.
Yeah. It'd be the first big conference game, obviously, so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's about it. I think we're around our 20-minute mark, so we'll go ahead and wrap up number two. You want to say bye to the folks, Cincy? Your signature sign-off line?
Yeah. No, I'll pass.
All right.
Are you going to Stillwater this weekend? Are you going?
Yeah, I'll be there. I upgraded tickets. I'm down almost right on the field.
Awesome.
So it's going to be, but yeah, I guess we should mention we'll be live threading it again. I know the game's not on TV, so it'll be a lot of people listening on the radio and, I guess people at the game, and it may not be quite as active as last week's was, but
yeah, no, that's a great place to go. I'll definitely be in the game thread starting around 5 o'clock, so we'll get that going and all the coverage you want.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, podcast number two. That's good.
See ya.